Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I don't know why the title of this song so jumped out at me, but it did. And I actually had the choruses already chosen for this morning and tonight, even before I had the title of the song. So it was like, when I had looked at the words and was going over them this morning, it's like, oh, God, you're so good. And even a couple of things that Pastor Rob had shared this morning, it was just, for me, it was like a confirmation of this is what God wanted me to do. So tonight I want to tell you all that you're going to be okay. Doesn't matter what you're going through, it's going to be okay. Hold on and don't let go. God doesn't let go of you. He's got you in the palm of his hand. And we're all on a journey. And like I said this morning, it was said about journey. Each of our journeys are different, and yet we can all relate to one another in some kind of way. You might be thinking, what are you talking about? Life is good for me right now. Well, this might be a preparation for you. You might learn something. You might need to listen and learn. You might need to be standing with someone when they're going through something. You need to get alongside of somebody. And just be aware also that they might not want you there right close with them, but from a distance you could be supporting them in prayer and in love. And for all of us, sometimes all we've got is just to be strong. That's the first line of the song. Sometimes it's all we've got is just to be strong. Sometimes it's a fight to keep it all together. We can think we're too far gone, we're too bad, we've sinned too much, we've done it all. But hope is never lost. Hope is never lost. And Barry's alluded to the love of the Father. His love is amazing. And in John 3:16 it tells us, for God so loved the world. He loved us so, so much. There is nothing about you that he doesn't know. There is no sin that's not covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And praise him for that. Hallelujah. When I was trying to get this message this afternoon, I was quite distracted when I was trying to pull it all together. I like, you know, you go through lots of thoughts and you go through lots of scriptures when you're preparing. But this afternoon I was trying to pull it all together. Talk about distraction. Oh my gosh, it's like there was the dishes that needed to be done, there was the washing that needed to be done, there was the dog that needed playing with, there was the bird that needed water, there was the garden that needed watering, and I forgot to turn the sprinkler off. It's like, oh no! Then there was the phone, then there was the Commonwealth Games. Like, it was like, just so distracting. And it's like, oh my gosh, God. Not that I had any of that on, but these are just thoughts that are going through my head. I wonder if we won any more gold medals, you know, and all those sorts of things. But they were just moments of distractions in my thoughts. So, and I was even getting to the point where I was even getting double-minded in what I wanted to share tonight. And it was like, no, be quiet, calm down, it's all okay. So I took one step closer to the Father, putting one foot in front of the other. You'll get through this. Just follow the light, and his name is Jesus. In the darkness, you're gonna be okay. And I went to Psalm 23 on that, and it's the Lord is my shepherd. I'll read it from the my favorite new version, the Passion version, because it says it just a little bit different. It says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along his footsteps of righteousness so I can bring honour to his name. Excuse me. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with fragrance of your Holy Spirit and give me all I can drink until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. And I just thought that was just beautiful. And that's where, you know, in the light, in the darkness, he is always there. He is the light that is bringing us through the darkness. Sometimes it feels like you're in a tunnel and you can't see left or right, but you just know there is the light at the end of that tunnel. It's just as important to keep following the light when all is going well, for our own good and for good of those around us. We all have areas where we are strong in, and areas also that we're quite weak in. Unless you have it all together, that is, then tell me your secret. I think you could sell it, eh? I don't know if you know much about Catherine Coleman. Perhaps those that are new in the Lord probably don't know her, but she was had a lot of healings and salvations done through her ministry. And she was a wonderful woman of God and used by God. And she was so totally surrendered to him. With no disrespect to her, she wasn't known as a great Bible teacher or even a preacher. She could do both, but that wasn't her anointing. She didn't have a natural beauty that seemed to exalt others. She wasn't a great singer that moved crowds with her beautiful voice and her powerful voice. And she had other weaknesses, but what could she do? She seemed to be the person God liked to be with. He loved to be in her presence and she loved to be in his presence. And she was always known for the presence of the Lord. The miracles that came from that one thing, the mass conversions that came from that one thing, the high places of worship that were experienced in her meetings came from that one thing. She was a presence of God. She was just amazing. Catherine Coleman talks about her point of absolute surrender to Holy Spirit. She testifies of the precise moment and precise location where she said the ultimate yes to God. Those moments don't reveal our strength, they actually reveal our weakness when we say yes to God like that, when we totally surrender. They demonstrate our utter need for God's presence. And what happens? A collision takes place when we recognise complete dependency on God's presence and respond to this state of dependency with hunger. We hunger after the things of God. Some try to suppress this dependency because it does reveal weakness, and we don't want to look weak, do we? We don't want to look like we haven't got it all together. But it's better to celebrate this rather than be ashamed of it. Celebrate the weakness. Weakness qualifies us to yield to his presence. We are all weak, male or female, it doesn't matter. But how are we going to respond to our weak condition? Will we attempt to continue in our own strength and effort, desperate to shield the world from what we assume to be a major shortfall? Or will we confront our weakness and lead us into a secret place where we cry out for his power to be made perfect in weakness? We cannot cover up our shortcomings, the greatest of which is our inability to do anything significant apart from his anointing. That does not make us worthless. Quite the opposite. It's amazing how God considered us worthy of his very spirit. He released his presence on the day of Pentecost into a new temple, flawed people, flesh and blood. Will we depend on his presence working through us, or will we try and pull it our own weight? To be all we can be requires us to be more and more dependent on God. And I just want to read from Philippians. I should have done this a bit earlier, but that's okay. Philippians 3, 1 to 11. My beloved ones, don't ever limit your joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus. I don't mind repeating what I've already written to you because it protects you. Be aware of those religious hypocrites who teach you that you should be circumcised to please God. For we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done, and not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. It's true that once I relied on all that I had become, I had a reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments more than others, for my pedigree was impeccable. I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel, as the son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth and was raised in the strict tradition of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness of the Torah, no one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the messianic believers with religious zeal. Yet, of all the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them, and I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight in experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. To truly know him meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. It's like a pile of manure to me now, so that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based on keeping the written law. My righteousness will be his based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be with him in his sufferings, and I will be with him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I love the way that it's turned around, that Paul turned around from being this man that was like full of himself, me, 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 all about me, to saying, no, no, no. Yet in all these accomplishments that I took credit for, I've now forsaken them. He gave them all away and regard it as nothing compared to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Saviour. He let it all go. It was all like garbage. And that's what we should be like. We should be letting go of ourselves and just surrendering wholly to our Lord. It's not always easy. It's not. We're still flesh, we still go out into the world, but it's doable because we do have Holy Spirit, and he leads us and he guides us in the way that we should go. So we want to be more dependent on him. And in 2 Corinthians 12, I'll just read that. It talks about our weakness. The extraordinary level of the revelation I received is no reason for anyone to exalt me. This is talking about the thorn in the flesh of Paul. For this is why a thorn in my flesh was given to me, the adversary's messenger sent to harass me, keeping me from becoming arrogant. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to relieve me of this, but he answered me. My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I am surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? I love the way that that just puts. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. Because we're weak doesn't make us defeated. It's the exact opposite. And that's why God wants us to rely and become more and more dependent on Him. And just some more words from the song. I know your heart is heavy from these nights, but just remember that you are a fighter. You never know just what tomorrow holds, and you're stronger than you know, stronger than you know. Know who you are not. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not below. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. There are so many scriptures that we can declare over ourselves, that we're, you know, the apple of the Father's eye. There are so many. And it's important for us not to try and wear the armour of somebody else. So many times, a lot of people try to wear Saul's armour, where it's in the Old Testament, where it talks about David and Goliath, and Saul wanted Goliath to put on his armour, but we all know it was too big, it was too heavy, it didn't fit. So you cannot operate in somebody else's gift. And that's a powerful key to operating in the anointing, because God created you to be you, and He created you uniquely to be you. When we try to be someone else, we are avoiding our place in completing our reliance upon the empowering presence of God within us. We can either depend on God or depend on our own strength and to become something that we're not. And again, that's easier said than done. You always see someone do something really good and you go, well, I can do that, I can emulate that. You know, it's not hard. But sometimes it really is, because you're not anointed to do it. And I know when I first started working at my new job, I mean, not that it's new anymore, I've been there 3 and a bit years, but it's like when I first started working there, there was little things that you would pick up and that you would do, and you'd try and do those things. And then the other girl that had been there a longer time, she took over some of the things that the other girl that had left had done. So it was like you have to find your way a little bit. So she would do a window. So we've got 2 windows that we dress up and make them all nice with lovely clothes. And she would do one and I'd do the other. And oh my gosh, mine never looked as good as what hers did. And it took quite some time for me to just let go. You know what? Let her do the window. As she undresses up, I can iron everything back out again and put it away. I can do all the hanging up. Let her do the lovely windows. But it took a little bit of time. I mean, that seems a silly thing, but it's like, that's the way it is, you know? For me to try and do what she's trying to do, I couldn't do it. It was so hard. I hated it. So I was like, what's the point? But I don't mind doing the ironing and those other little things. And yeah, you pick up things along the way. So we can either depend on God or depend on our own strength to try and become something that we're not. And that's a counterfeit response to weakness. It could be that your greatest point of weakness might be the area which God releases the greatest breakthrough. I thought, wow, God, thank you for that. I needed to hear that. So how do we respond to weakness? For me, it's usually incorrectly. We don't want to be like that, you know. We sense that there are areas unique to us that God wants us to work through. And at the same time, we confront the fact that we are weak in these areas. We're inefficient, we're unskilled, we're unlearned, we haven't arrived, we're unqualified. And again, at work this week, we've got a new lady starting, because Alan and Bev are at the point where they're nearly retiring. And so they want to go away a little bit more often. And so we just needed somebody else to help fill in anyway. And this lady, she comes with great qualifications. She's worked for, like, Gazman. They've owned their own business and all of that. And I'm going, here we go again. Oh, God, you know. Because I always think everybody's better than I am. So, but it's like I tried to explain it to the other girl that works there the other day. I said, I'm nervous about her starting, but, and I was very, I'm not sure if she's the right girl for the job, you know, like I was protecting, like trying to protect me, I think now, but it's like, I don't know what she's going to be like, you know, and oh, she could be, you know, I just had my doubts. And it was, after a little while, it was like, I don't know what's happening here, God, but I was almost setting myself back and going, okay, let's just see, it's not up to me. The decision's not mine anyway. But it's like, how am I going to work with this? That was my biggest fear, if it was a fear. How am I going to work with this? And I was trying to explain it to the other girl. She must have thought I was crackers. But it was like, I had to talk it out with someone who knew or had some sort of understanding. So I said, I'm happy for her to come, but I said, I'm not sure if it's my weakness that she might be better than me, that I'm nervous about her starting, yet there's another part of me over here that says I could learn so much from her because she's an older lady, and like I said, she's done so much more. And so I was like, I was torn between the two. And in the end, it was like, once I got that out, once I had kind of set it straight in my mind, I'm not sure where I stood, I was okay with it. I could let it go then and just go, oh, okay, that wasn't hard. What was I worried about, you know? So we have to be careful with how we see things, you know. And because of this, we look at other people watching them. They're doing so well in their giftings, and I'll be watching this lady, but in a different way this time. We watch them being used by God and then desire to be used in the same way. And the desire to be used by God is good and healthy, but the assumption that the way to be used by God is to try and mimic someone else is actually quite dangerous. We don't want to mimic anybody else. We want to be Christ-like. We want to be more and more like Jesus. So this is us trying to put on Saul's armour. Remember, Saul's armour didn't fit David. God wasn't going to use David the same way that he used Saul. God is not going to use this lady that's coming in the same way that she uses me, or even the owners. So David was going to be used by God uniquely with a demonstration of his power through a shepherd boy with a slingshot with stones. He didn't need armour and everything else. That's just what he was going to use. And it's quite dangerous to admire a person and their giftings and then try and be like them. Know who you are. Know that God made you uniquely and will use you just as you are. Squeaky clean or what, doesn't matter what your past is, it's under the blood of Jesus. God made you to be you, your giftings, your talents, and allow God to reveal himself to you. Don't believe the lies that you're not good enough, that you can't do it, everyone is better than you, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. And when the night is closing in, when the time is coming, don't give up, don't give in. This won't last. It's not the end. It's not the end. And you're going to be okay. Because sometimes you need to be told that. It's okay. You're going to be okay. It doesn't matter what you're going through, the good, the bad, the ugly, you're okay and you're going to be doing okay. I love the name of the Bill Johnson book, Hosting the Presence. And that's talking about the presence of Holy Spirit. Hosting his presence. The quest to host God's presence doesn't begin with formulas and principles. It starts with an ever-increasing awareness of who lives within you. That's what makes everything going to be okay. That's what makes you okay. When you were born again, you became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' blood made it possible for God to come and take up residence in your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. It is the cross that provided your entryway into the kingdom. Now it is time for us to learn how to host the presence of the one who shows us how to live out the resurrected life. The Spirit who lives within you desires to also rest upon you. He lives within you for your sake. However, he rests upon you for the sake of others. The quest is about developing deeper intimacy with a person. He is the prize. He is the breakthrough. Hallelujah for that. So when you're born again, we know that Jesus' blood made it all possible for God to come and take residence in our heart. And I love that. I just think it's amazing. So don't give up. Don't give in. You're going to be okay. All right? Don't believe anything that devil tries to tell you. Renew your mind to what the word is saying. That is so important. We all need to do it. Doesn't matter who we are. We all need to renew our mind. And really, I think that's all I've got to say tonight. I don't think I need to add to it. I just believe that that was for someone tonight, because I didn't even have that title. And then this song came along. I really just believe that it is for somebody tonight. So let me just pray.